When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now to lead off the 4 o'clock hour is going to be Jason B. Hirshhorn, co-founder of the Leap newsletter.
It's time for your green and gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
All right, you can follow Jason B. Hirshhorn on Twitter at @BY_JBH. That's @BY_JBH. Him and Peter Bukowski do a great job of that Leap newsletter. Jason, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Happy to be on, Sparky.
All right, so your tweet caught my eye yesterday. You put out a graph, a chart, whatever you want to call it, of all these different head coaches and teams and where they rank as far as making the right decision of kicking it in a situation or going for it in a situation. And then you go in depth kind of looking at the idea of Matt LaFleur, you know, back with Aaron Rodgers versus Matt LaFleur now with Jordan Love the last couple of years, and appears and you could talk more about this, that there's been a shift possibly in Matt LaFleur's mentality about this whole situation.
Yeah, very simply, and these are not strictly fourth downs, but these are what we call kick-go situations where the offense either has a choice to go for it, keep the offense on the field, or to either punt or to put the field goal unit onto the field. From 2019, that was Matt LaFleur's first year as the Packers head coach, to 2023, there were only three teams in the league that added more win probability than the Green Bay Packers. That is how comparatively aggressive Matt LaFleur had been. Now, aggressive doesn't always mean good, to be clear. There are situations where you can be aggressive and it's a move that reduces your team's win probability. But for the most part, relative to most teams, being aggressive in those situations has more of a benefit than it has a negative. And Matt LaFleur was, again, one of the four most aggressive kick-go decision makers in the NFL. Now, even last year, 2023, new starting quarterback, you could see there being reasons to be a little more conservative when you just don't know if that quarterback, that offense with all those new pieces was going to be able to do what Aaron Rodgers and those offenses had done for the first however many years of LaFleur's tenure. Even then, though, LaFleur was the ninth best kick-go decision maker in the league, so still top 10. This year, however, and this is where I think the conversation is really going to go, LaFleur has gone from one of the best in the league to literally the least aggressive. There's not a team in the league, all 32, that have reduced their team's win probability by a greater amount in those situations than Matt LaFleur's Packers. Obviously, the record is still good. You know, LaFleur is doing a lot of great things with the play calling, a lot of situations. Like, there's a lot of good things going on there. But those kick-go decisions are hurting the Packers.
Jason, how much of this has to do with the quarterback? How much of this has to do with the defense?
I don't know how much it actually has to do with the quarterback. Now, there were points in the year when either Jordan Love wasn't playing or Jordan Love was clearly playing hurt, where you could point to, but keep in mind, in 2023, when Jordan Love, while healthy, was not playing particularly well. Remember how poorly he played in October in particular. The Packers were still really willing to go for it. And that defense that they had in 2023 was not as good as the defense they have now. So we actually do have a good comparison here. In those situations, LaFleur in 2023 was very comfortable keeping the offense on the field. This year, one of the best offenses in the league and a defense that, going into week 16, top 10 in DVOA and a lot of other really telling metrics, he is taking the offense off the field or doing, and I point this out in the article, when they're at midfield, it's fourth and short, they do the fake going forward, take the intentional delay of game penalty, end up punting it. I'm counting those things too. He has just been so conservative in those situations, and it hasn't really bitten them in a big way yet. But when they get down the stretch, when they get into the playoffs, the teams that they're playing against are a lot more aggressive and overall a lot smarter with those situations. And the margin for error decreases significantly because those are obviously the best teams in the conference. If you're going to go against those teams and you want to win, you probably need to make better decisions in those kick-go situations. And LaFleur's tenure has been really good at that. But this year in particular is clearly different. And I think it's worthy of a lot of discussion.
Okay, so where is Dan Campbell then? Because he seems overly aggressive to me.
Yeah, so Dan Campbell, again, this is for his whole tenure. This is not just this season.
Right.
He is near the top of the league. But to the point I think you're making here, there are decisions that he makes that, while aggressive, are not actually helping his team from a win probability perspective. These are, by the way, not limited to kick-go calls. You know, like the decision to go for the onside kick when he didn't have to, you know, declare it ahead of time this past week. So there was such a thing as being too aggressive. And I'll point out here, one of the kick-go decisions that LaFleur made this past week, where he decided to kick, was actually, by win probability, the correct decision. When they're at the end of the first half, you know, it is, you know, fourth and short, fourth and goal, whatever it was. Actually, it was the fourth down. But by the way, it's 4 seconds left. It is, in all likelihood, the last play of the half. He decides to kick it. In that situation, you can actually justify it, because one of the reasons why it makes sense to go for, especially when you're near the goal line, is if you don't get it, the other offense has to play from their own end zone. And the most likely individual result from there is they punt it away soon thereafter, and you get the ball back in pretty good field position. That obviously does not happen at the end of a half. The opponent wouldn't even have had to play a single down in all likelihood. So that one is a little different, but the majority of them, when it's fourth and short, plenty of time up in the clock, whether it was near the goal line or I think they won that was about the 20-yard line of their opponent, those are situations where the math says you are so much more likely to get it than you are to be hurt by the decision to go for it. And if you go for it in all those situations, yeah, you're not going to succeed on all of them, but you're going to end up scoring more points. As you remember from that game against Seattle, there was a point where the Seahawks were not that far away from making it a game again. They closed the gap to 10 points after the Josh Jacobs fumble. That's the kind of variance you have to protect yourself against. Like, yeah, going up 3 possessions is important. But if you go up by 3 touchdowns as opposed to just 17 points, that game is put away much earlier. And then when you're playing in the playoffs against better teams, it's not likely going to be a 17-point or 3-possession situation. It's going to be, are you setting this by barely 2 possessions, or are you setting it by 2 touchdowns? And that's going to matter a lot more to the Packers.
Talking with Jason B. Hershow and co-founder of Leap Newsletter, him and Peter Bukowski. Follow him on Twitter at @by_JBH. That's @by_JBH. We talked about this earlier in the show. Jordan Love was on the Rich Eisen show earlier today and was talking about his relationship with Matt LaFleur and just how great it is and how much they communicate and so forth. I asked this question. I'll ask you the same question. What do you think makes Matt LaFleur so successful as a head coach dating back to when he first took this job?
Well, you look at all the offenses that he has designed going back to 2019 to now. There are commonalities between them, right? Like, there are certain concepts that we see crop up again and again. There's certainly approaches to the offense, the way that they like to marry certain play-action type plays to certain run-type plays. Makes it harder for the defense to figure out what's going on there. But if you're taking it from a more macro perspective, those offenses actually do look fairly different. He has evolved that offense over the course of his time in Green Bay for the personnel he has. Now, a big part of that is obviously the quarterback. There's other personnel considerations there as well. But even just going back to the first year of Jordan Love as the starter, that offense just looked very different from any of the ones that he ran with Aaron Rodgers. And even this year, the offense has changed a little bit, not just because of Love, but because Josh Jacobs is there. There's different things in the run game. They're doing more gap scheme stuff than they used to do in terms of the zone run stuff. Like, he has managed to give themselves a schematic edge that, not that no other coach in the league has done this, but there's not a lot of coaches that have given their team that kind of edge so consistently over that amount of time. You're really comparing him to the best offensive coaches in the league. You're talking about Andy Reid, who's given this team an offensive edge like that over those years. You're talking about Kyle Shanahan, who, you know, maybe not as much this year because of the personnel issues they have, but over the course of his time in San Francisco has given them a schematic edge. You're talking about those coaches. That is the company that LaFleur keeps. And if you're the quarterback, Jordan Love, you love that, right? Like, you're still going to have to go out there and make some really great plays that maybe only a handful of other quarterbacks can make. But down and down, the burden on your shoulders is not going to be quite as great because your head coach is putting your offensive position to succeed that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have with another NFL team. So I think that's a big part of it. You know, the relationship stuff, I mean, that's just a coach-quarterback thing. LaFleur has done a very good job with that locker room during his entire time in Green Bay. I really do think those schematic advantages just make life so much easier for a quarterback, especially one that's still fairly early in his development like Jordan Love.
Jason, we've talked about this before, too, coming off this last game where, like you said, the end of the half was kind of a train wreck in the last 90 seconds of him mismanaging that and him falling on the sword, Matt LaFleur, after the game, saying it was kind of his fault. We talked about what makes him successful. Now, tell me how concerned you might be as far as him maybe costing them a playoff game because of a coaching blunder.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And I should clarify from my earlier comment. Once the Packers were down to 4 seconds, going for the field goal was the right call.
Right.
But the things leading up to that were certainly blunders on the part of LaFleur, and he owned up to that during his postgame presser. Now, I don't think that particular kind of mistake is going to happen for Green Bay again. Like, that's just not something we've seen from LaFleur's offenses really at any point in his tenure. But you could have a mistake like that. You know, remember, this is going back to earlier in the LaFleur-Rodgers marriage. You know, there was that situation against, I believe it was Tampa Bay, where they decide to, you know, on third down, they don't really go for like a play where they can get a little bit of yardage and set up for a fourth down offensive play. They decide to go for the whole thing. Rodgers ends up scrambling, put the field goal unit on the field after that. And then the Packers didn't really sniff the lead at any point after that. And those are the kind of mistakes I think the Packers can run into. Now, that's true, by the way, of any coach. Like, there just are certain things where, yeah, you might decide that a certain thing makes more sense and it, you know, on the spreadsheet doesn't add win probability, but because of considerations related to the game, maybe it does. You know, there is a little bit of luck here that we always have to account for, or rather we can't account for, we always have to remember. But LaFleur has made some mistakes like that over the course of his tenure. Now, he does better at that than most coaches, but still is a possibility, right? Like, that is just a situation where your head coach in a big pressure moment is going to have to make a really big decision, maybe multiple big decisions in a game. And with the NFC so tightly packed at the top, there just isn't that much margin for error. So it doesn't mean LaFleur has to be perfect, but he does have to be pretty close, especially if they're going to make a long playoff run, especially if they want to get to the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you my concern, Jason Hirschhorn, about this deal with LaFleur. The identity of this offense clearly has changed this year with Josh Jacobs. They've become more run-oriented. Jacobs, 30 touches in the last game against Seattle. My concern is, because they're going to be on the road in the postseason, is that we lose our identity and Jordan Love all of a sudden throws the ball 45 times in a game. That is my concern.
That's certainly possible, but at the same time, the Packers have done a much better job this year, especially like the last month and change, of whether it was technically running the ball or not, making sure that Josh Jacobs was a focal point of the offense.
Yep.
And, you know, the best example was this past week, right, where Josh Jacobs touches the ball on 9 of the 10 plays on the Packers' opening possession. Now, that's a scripted part of the game plan. You have a lot more control over that than you do later on in the game. But they didn't just forget that Josh Jacobs was there. You know, they were still running in situations where actually maybe it probably made more sense to put the ball in Jordan Love's hands. Still, the point remains, they are doing a pretty good job of maximizing the best players on that offense. Josh Jacobs obviously being one of those guys. So, you know, a game it can go in such a way where suddenly you just have to pass. Like, if you're down by multiple possessions, especially if you're in the second half, yeah, you're going to have to pass more than maybe you want to. That's just the reality of football. But that's still a situation where you're going to put the ball in Jordan Love's hands with a really good group of receivers. That's not the end of the world. And even in those situations, they still have the opportunity to get the ball in Josh Jacobs' hands because of what he can do as a receiver.
Jason B. Hirschhorn, co-founder of the Leap Newsletter. You and Peter Bukowski do a great job. Tell everybody how they can get that.
Yeah, you can go to theleap.football. We got that really cool .football
yep.
domain address. Recommend you go there. It's not just a very exciting time in the Packers regular season. Obviously, the Packers are gearing up for a postseason run. Peter and I are not just focused on the stuff that's happening on the field with the Packers. We're going to have a story later this week about some things that affect the Packers that are happening away from the field. I'll tease it that way. Something that you, as a Packers fan, will definitely want to check out, because it won't just affect the Packers in the near future, it'll affect the Packers in the long, long term. So check it out, theleap.football.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Sparky.